Good morning, everyone. What a wonderful morning to be here, and just to wake up with the sun rising. Just two intimations, or the one is actually asking, some of you did not get the bulletin, but they've copied the bulletin in the meanwhile. Anyone still wanting a bulletin? All good. All right. Then one intimation, the 7th of October, this is with regard to the guild. Susan Brown will come and do the talk for the guild on the 7th of October, and that is at Abelauer Church, 2 o'clock the afternoon. So for the guild members, Susan Brown, 7th of October, 2 o'clock, Abelauer Church. Are there anything else from your side which you think we should just enlighten or just tell the congregation of? All good. All right. Thank you, Evelyn. Thank you, choir. Let us worship the Lord together. You can follow with me and pray with me. People of God, let us praise our God. Let us join our voices with those of every age and place to praise the name of the Lord. Let all the peoples praise you, God. Let all the peoples praise you. From north and south and east and west, may voices ring with praise. From dense tropical forests to barren desert dunes, from temperate grasslands to windswept tundra. Let all the peoples praise you, God. Let all the peoples praise you. In industrial heartlands and rural small holdings, in high-tech computer labs and the artist's studio, in classroom and hospital, in night shelter and trendy cafe, let all the peoples praise you, God. Let all the peoples praise you. For there is no one like the Lord our God, powerful, creating force, maker of heaven and earth, and yet intimate carer for every part and every person of creation. There is no one like the Lord our God who opts for the poor and brings to the center those who are brushed aside. There is no one like the Lord our God who reaches out with tenderness and seeks our well-being, promising life in its very fullness to all. Let us all peoples praise you, God. Let all the peoples praise you. Amen. I greet you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Peace, mercy be unto you in abundance. Let us greet the Lord back with our first hymn, All Hail the Powers of Jesus' Name.
Thank you.
remain standing and we confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Shall we sing our next theme? As I see, it's JJ with us today. Christ triumphant, ever reigning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you that any moment of any given time, you know what we are up to. You know our thoughts, you know our feelings. And therefore, again, gathered here as fellow believers, we ask of you to guide us this morning in hearing your word. As it comes through the Bible, human text, inspired by your Spirit, that you'll be the editor of the words and the message in our hearts and our thoughts, guiding us in our ways forward. When we step outside this building, may the service continue through our lives. And may your word be proclaimed through our words, our acts, our being. This we pray in your name as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Good morning. The reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 48, and it can be found on page 970 of the Pew Bibles. And it's entitled, Love for Enemies. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Amen.
The theme of this morning's sermon is making sense as Christians why bad things happen to good people. Did you hear the text of this morning? It's a very peculiar text. Our Father in heaven tells us through scripture or through the sermon of Jesus Christ, he causes, and I'm quoting, he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Very, very peculiar and strange. The first time when I read this first, I was actually shocked, to say the least. I thought, what is going on here? How many times have you questioned, and this morning's sermon is quite direct, but how many times have you questioned the Lord in terms of why he allows bad things to happen to good people? You might even at this moment know some people who are going through a tough time in their life. Maybe trauma or ungood situations. And you might think, but where is God in this? Just looking at the world, thinking of world news, thinking of disasters in nature, we know that certain areas of the world experience drought, others floodings, others fire. When we think of politics, we know of corruption. We don't even want to speak about politics in the UK at this moment. We don't want to speak about politics in South Africa at this moment. It's quite chaotic. We think of diseases, we think of illnesses, and the question is, why? Why does this happen? Now, this question is I want to say hundreds and maybe thousands of years old, and it's called the theodicy. Do I pronounce it right? Theodicy question. It's about the vindication of divine providence in the view of existence of evil, whether God intervenes or not. Now, we will never have all answers to the question, but it makes one think about who we are as Christians and what stance we take in life. How do we see our own lives and how do we see God within this? And I said this morning might be personal, but let's get more personal. Thinking of more direct situations, maybe you know of a Christian couple that wanted a child but could not have a child. You ask yourself, so what's happening here? Why are they not having a child? or a car accident where the drunk walks out alive but the innocent doesn't. Or maybe you have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and the Lord would not change a situation in your life, and it seems as if he is unwilling to do so. And then one wonders, why? Now the easiest conclusion we come up is, well then God, and I'm speaking from my own stance, but if you want to collaborate, you're more than welcome. Well then God can't be a God with a good will. Or maybe he's not omnipotent. Or maybe he doesn't care as he says he does. Maybe you are in a place in life asking, Lord, I really don't understand why you're allowing certain things in the lives of other people or my own. And I said the theme making sense as Christians, why bad things happen to good people, could maybe help us if we will allow ourselves to have a broader perspective of our own life and views, our own lives as Christians, as disciples of the Lord. And I want to look at three scenarios where I would like you to think in terms of those times in your life when you feel you do not understand the actions of the Lord. And again, in brackets, I say we will never understand anything, but just a little perspective this morning. So our logic, or my logic, would say bad things is supposed to happen to bad people. And then my logic will continue and say, and therefore, good things are supposed to happen to good people. And therefore, because most of us believe that we are good people, we expect that good things will come our way. We also think it is, I'm speaking on my behalf, it may be totally unjust when bad things do happen to good people like us. But I know you don't want to say it, I'll say it out loud. All right, with that in mind, here's the first scenario. I want to enlighten certain aspects from the Bible, and we could engage with this question or theme for a very, very, very long time. Now, maybe a slight warning, you might not like what you'll be hearing this morning, but bear with me till the end, until you've heard the whole sermon, and then make your own conclusions with the work of the Holy Spirit, giving broader perspective. Although I've just said, I think good things should happen to good people, like myself, the Bible tells me something different. The Bible does tell me we don't deserve any goodness. We want to believe otherwise, but we have no right to claim to be treated just. Can we claim justice? Yes, we could, but it's not a right in our life. It's actually a bitter pill to swallow, thinking that we believe we should be treated in a just way. The fact of life and the Bible does show a different picture. If you really believe... Oh, shame, it's okay. Don't worry. Okay. If you really believe you're a good person, then we need to ask... Oh, don't worry. Oh. Oh. Okay, it's okay. If you really believe you're a good person, then Jesus himself teaches us something different, that he did not come to earth for good persons. Because if we are good and if we are just, Jesus is not needed. If you are good and just, and I'm including myself, then we don't need a redeemer, because we don't need redemption from anything. Or we don't need a justifier, because we are good per se. Jesus said it very clearly, he did not come for the healthy. He came for those who needed a doctor, for the sinners, for people with brokenness, with people with flaws, people struggling, even people with bad reputations. In Luke 18, Jesus reminds us in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector that God is on the side of the one who confesses their flaws and their sins. And then we gain in that parable with the Pharisee that he, confessing that he's so good, he does not need God. So the Bible helps me in some sense, although it's very tough to think of it, and I said a bitter pill to swallow. The Bible helps me to understand that when I think I am good and I only deserve goodness, then there would be no reason for the Messiah to come. There would actually be no reason to be a Christian. Then I would actually not need grace because I'm good within myself. Mark chapter 2, 16 and 17, which was the quote I just paraphrased. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners, that's Jesus, and tax collectors, they asked these disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." All right. Now, maybe at this stage, you would disagree with me or are not yet convinced that you are, and I'm not trying to point finger that you're a bad person, but I'm actually convincing myself in this situation. Am I really bad? Am I really a sinner? Am I really someone with flaws? Now, let's be honest, because we believe we are honest and we believe we are just. I want to ask you a few questions, just three questions. If you're willing to raise your hand, it's fine. I would actually like it. I'll raise mine. All right. The first question is, now be honest. Raise your hand if you've ever told a lie in the past 2 weeks or somewhere in your life. Okay. I want to say if someone is not raising their hand, I'm not the judge of that. All right. But you can keep your hand up. If someone sitting next to you not having their hands up, it's fine. The next question would be, whom of you have ever stole something from someone else, whether it be physical or only with your eyes? Seeing something and copying it, or seeing something and imitating it. All right, I have two hands up. All right, that's it. All right, raise your hand if you have ever placed someone or something or anything in a higher priority place above worshiping the Lord. Now, this would be your child, your wifey, your husband, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, maybe a business transaction, money of any sort, your car, a friendship, or your own ego with proudness. All right. Okay. I did not look up, so I won't know whose hands went up. But making the math, if you lied or confessed that you've ever told a lie, it does make us liars. If you stole, it does make me a thief. If you placed or prioritized something above the Lord, I'm getting into the Ten Commandments. I am a worshiper of idols. So the picture does seem like we have a few social scruffies within our being here this morning. I'm including myself. We have liars, we have thieves, we have adulterers. And it does sound to me that we are not only good people. Maybe we are not looking as good in the eyes of the Lord as we think we do. And please bear with me this morning. It's a big topic. But just giving us perspective on how we see ourselves, because sometimes we easily see the flaws of others, but I struggle seeing my own flaws. It's the truth. And then the Bible reminds me, Romans chapter 3, 10 to 12, it's written, There is no one righteous. We know this verse. Not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have altogether become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Now, obviously, we need to reckon the text and the context of the text. But it does help me in saying, oh, I would think of this text of Romans chapter 3, I'm not part of that text. But sometimes I'm quite part of the accusation of that text. And I'm thinking very practically, if a child who really disobeys his parents and continues disobeying his parents, so by the way, corporal punishment is also abandoned in South Africa the past week. I know it's a long part of your laws, but it's quite interesting in South Africa. So in South Africa, when a child would really be disobeying his parents, punishment would be the result, or the child would be punished. If a citizen of the country would disobey basic laws and continue disobeying it, in the end, punishment should intercede in some way. I was looking, I won't mention names, two vehicles following me to church this morning, so I cut the corner there on the entrance of the Lossiemouth, and I saw, oh, I'm not an only sinner this morning. There's two others following me as well, cutting the corner. But if I continue cutting the corner and I cause an accident, something needs to follow. And some punishment needs to follow. And I think to myself, all right, am I such a good person? Or am I also disobeying things? Exodus 33 verse 19 says, when the Lord appears to Moses, he tells Moses the following, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Listen to what the Lord tells Moses. I will have compassion on whom I want to show the compassion. I will have mercy on who I want to show the mercy. And then I ask myself as a Christian again, all right, so grace is something I need. Although I think I'm such a good person, and I don't, please, it was just, I know I'm a very bad person at sometimes, a lot of times. I need the grace of God. So if we think in general, we are not that good in front of the Lord. We don't actually deserve anything because we all have flaws. And if we have this stance, then we can carry on. And that is the second, I said I have three points to make. The second stance is that good things also happens to bad people. We know that. But I want to tell you, I want to witness of a situation I had in the previous parish. I just came there, that would be 11 years ago. So I had to go from Craddock to Port Elizabeth, the nearest city. And I can't remember for what reason, but I was in a hurry, to say the least. And there was no reason I had to be in a hurry. The distance is 250 kilometers, approximately 200 miles. But I got into my car, and I still had, we have our vehicle registrations in South Africa. Every province has a different registration. My registration was from the neighboring province, the Free State, and now I was living in the Eastern Cape. So I was going through a mountain pass, and I knew that no one would travel in that mountain pass at that time of the day. It's usually quite still, and nothing happens there. And I went quite fast, and all of a sudden, a traffic officer jumps out. Now, I'm telling you this really as the facts happen. In South Africa, it's not permitted and not allowed. I know it's not allowed. But our church officer was phoning me at that stage on my mobile phone. So I had the mobile phone in my hand whilst driving at a high speed. And this wonderful person jumping out of the bush. I just left the phone and I trampled on the phone trying to get the brake and the phone going, and I had to reverse. And I stopped, and I still had one of my older dogs in the car, which went mad at the officer, and I thought, just don't bite him, then it's it's the end. And he showed me, you can switch off, get out. And I knew this is going to happen. I'm going to be cuffed, and I'm going to jail this morning, because I've ignored 3 signages indicating that I'm over the speed. I was on my mobile phone, and I couldn't even stop the car when Mr. Surprise jumped out. And he said, Free State, because that was the registration number. He said, come here, Free State, let me show you. Have a look at the radar. We have those radar cameras. I said, I know what I did, but I was shaking. I was shaking, really. And the dog went crazy, and I thought, shut up, dog. I don't know who's going to take care of you when I'm in jail. And then the officer said to me, so what is it you do for a living? And I said, but I'm shaking. I said, I'm a minister for the church. Now, in South Africa, people are quite Christian, and in general, people, more people are considered as Christians. And he said to me, minister, minister. And so we all sin, hey? We all sin. And I said, yes. I said, I'm very, very sorry, and I know I can't rectify anything I did this morning. And he said, now you get into your car, you put on your seatbelt, you switch off your phone, and you drive to wherever you are going, and you keep to the speed limit and the law. And that day, I clearly realized that good things happen to bad people. It's a very serious crime I did that day. But then coming back and asking myself the question, when I ask the question, why does bad things happen to good people? I need to ask myself, and how good are you? Are you living within the grace of God? Or are you also sometimes, and I'm speaking to myself, not to you, you can reflect on that. Or am I also sometimes making the grace of God a bit common, throwing it away, neglecting the gift of grace? It's just to ponder on this morning. And I said we don't have answers, but it helps me to understand why I am as a Christian, and reflecting on the grace of God. The third aspect, and let me just page. I want to quote Psalm 103 to you. Psalm 103, verse 10 to 12 reads, He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east, and we know this, is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And then Titus 3 verse 5. He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Yes. So God does reveal the sunshine to shine over the just and the unjust, the righteous and the unrighteous. Because I'm telling you, it's standing here as an example in front of you today. And therefore, I'll ask myself, thank you, Lord. I struggle, I really struggle, having this questions of when bad things happen to good people and vice versa. But help me within those situations. And the third aspect, and I'm closing with that, is to tell you, and I know you know this, but to reassure you, that when we feel as if God is not intervening, we should never forget that He is present within our pain. When we get hurt, when we our heart ached, when we struggle with life, He is there for us. Isaiah 49:13. Shout for joy, you heavens. Rejoice, you earth. Burst into song, you mountains. For the Lord comforts His people and will have compassion on His afflicted ones. Am I aching? Am I hurting? Yes. Same goes for you. The Lord does not leave you on your own. Last week we had Psalm 23. Even when I go through the valley, the shadow of death, I will not fear, because you are right beside me. Do you hear? The wanderer of Psalm 23 sees the shadows. He sees the unfortunate things. But he is not forgetting the traveler that's with him. Psalm 40, verse 1 to 2. The writer of Psalm 40 says, comfort, comfort my people. That's Isaiah 40, not Psalm 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her heart service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Psalm 34. The Lord is close to the brokenheartedness and saves those who are crushed in spirit. I've told this scenario in our previous parish, and I would like to share it with you. When Jesus tells the disciples, don't hinder the children, bring them here. It's very interesting that the context of that, and there's a lot to say about that as well, that those children might not have had parents. Yes, most of the parents brought their children to Jesus to be blessed, but some of those children did not have parents. Because within the Roman empire of the day, if it were little girls, they would be shoved off and out of their houses, because the Roman Empire believed that we need men for the army. And if it were young ladies or young little girls, they would also be shoved off. And then Jesus tells this to his disciples, don't hinder them, bring them. Bring them in their situation, and I'll comfort them. Because I'll be the place for them where they don't have a place to be. And this morning I'm actually asking you to ponder this week, not only thinking of, will God give me answers on the unanswered things in life? Because if you think, and if that's your argument, to have answers in life, I need to tell you this morning that you are missing a lot. That you are only focusing on one thing, and not of the God around and over, above and under and surrounding you and giving much more than the questions and the answers unanswered. And when you live this week, may you live from the grace of God, being just and unjust, knowing that He allows His grace unto you. Amen. Lord, within our struggles, within our questions, in the end we need to confess in the words of Isaiah 66, that as a mother comforts her child, so you comfort us. You really care for us. And sometimes we try to figure out our own lives and we struggle, we halt. We think we're at dead ends. But trusting you, reading your word, discussing it, also finding out that there are much more to just asking questions. That grace is much, much, much more than the black and white scenarios we want for our lives. That grace seeps and seeks in to cracks and places in our being, like glue, like good ointment, actually healing us, actually helping us, keeping us together. And therefore we thank you this morning. Thank you for your abundance of grace. Thank you for your word, discovering old truths in new contexts of our lives. Lord, and therefore, we would like to pray together as you've taught us with the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Just one thing, some congregation member asked me a while back, why do we pray and lead us not into temptation? And there's some theologians within us, and maybe that's a question that we can answer. And then I said, in our translation back home, and it's all in the translation, we would pray, and let us not get into temptation. Which does help me to understand the Lord does not necessarily say, come on, come on, yes, temptation, and put you into temptation, but help me within the situation. So it would be a manner of a translation and text. But to the theologians within us, amongst us, we will come up with a very good explanation for that as well. All right. Thank you. Do we sing a hymn now? No. Where are we now? Offering. No, one more step. Yes, thank you. 5-3-0, one more step. Thank you. Let us bring our offering unto the Lord.
As you probably know, the Church of Scotland has embarked upon a time of radical reform. And while this will mean change and uncertainty, it will create new and exciting opportunities. And the Council of Assembly has called for a season of prayer and preparation from now until December. And so today, our prayer is set in this context. It's a meditation on some of the verses of a hymn that we all know. Let us pray.
Take my life, Lord, let it be consecrated, glad and free. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in endless praise.
We thank you for your love. We are assured that nothing, neither death nor life, neither the present nor the future, neither height nor depth, nothing in all of creation can separate us from that love. We thank you for the gift of Jesus, who has made it possible for us to enter into a new and close relationship with you. We thank you for answered prayer, for the way you've provided for our church during our vacancy, for the joy that Ati has brought us.
And in response, we rededicate ourselves, both individually and as a congregation, to your service.
Take my will, your will be done. May my will and yours be one. Take my heart, it is your own. It shall be your royal throne.
We place into your loving hands the Church of Scotland as it begins this time of reform. We ask for discernment and wisdom for those who have to make decisions. May any self-interest or self-importance fade away so that the focus is on discerning your will, so that your plans for the Church's future become our vision. Help us to listen with respect to any opinions that may differ from our own, to work enthusiastically with other churches and organisations as required, and always to remain faithful in our service to you. We ask that you will help us to bear in mind Jesus' final prayer for all believers to be brought to complete unity, so that the world will know of your love.
Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of your love.
Hands that do the chores unseen, hands that create beauty, flower arranging, banners, craftwork, knitting, hands that make tea, coffee, soup, bake, hands that reach out to comfort, to encourage, to connect with others, hands that join together in friendship, cooperation, and strength. Show us where we can serve you with our hands, bringing your love into our church and our community. Help us to spread your gospel with and without words.
Take my feet that I may run, bearing news of Christ your Son.
Speaking metaphorically, Heavenly Father, we have to confess that sometimes our feet suffer from corns that make us hesitate to move away from where we feel comfortable. If your will is that we should move into unknown territory, give us the courage and the strength to do so. Help us not to be afraid of making mistakes, but instead to be able to view the experience as a positive learning process. Guide us in the way that you want us to go.
Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my intellect and use every power as you shall choose.
Today we use our voices to bring before you our present concerns, those who are suffering, those who are bereaved, those who are sick, those who are lonely, those who are oppressed and flee from their homeland, people who are imprisoned for their beliefs. We pray for Chris as he starts his work in Vietnam, and for his father Pete as he helps lead the Christian Church in Saudi Arabia. We thank you for their courage and for your protection.
Take my love, my Lord, I pour at your feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be all for you eternally.
Thank you very much for the prayers. Thank you very much. Our closing hymn, Lord of Creation, to you be all praise. Before I do the blessing, we just sung, "If I should disown you, I'd stumble and fall." And then the end says, "And walk in your freedom, which would be the grace of God to the end of the way." So yes, and we do stumble and fall, but it's by the grace of God that we get up and get going. The Lord will be ahead of you to prepare your way. He will be at your back to shelter you from the onslaughts of evil. The Lord will be beside you to enfold you in his loving arms. He will be beneath you to pick you up the day if you might stumble or fall. He will be above you to bless you. And he will dwell within you with his Holy Spirit so that you may live from his grace. Amen.